Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. We welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us online Kevin Shannon, and Kevin's got his own radio program in Southern California. He's on the American Freedom Network in the afternoon. I'm there in the morning. I've known Kevin for a long time. He's totally dedicated to this battle of trying to educate the American people as to what's going on. He's a minister. He's worked for the police force there in Southern California for many years. A patriot, and that's something I say about very, very few people, totally dedicated to this battle, to try to preserve this country that we inherited from generations past. Now, for the listener out there who does not understand what's really going on, who simply reads the newspaper and believes that he's getting the truth from ABC, CBS, and NBC, some of what we say tonight may be a little strange, but the truth of the matter is that the media is fairly well controlled. The major networks are controlled by five mega corporations that dominate what most people read, hear, see, and ultimately what they believe. There is an agenda, and that is to create a one-world government. But the plan, the stepping stone along that way, is to unite the Western Hemisphere into either one or two large, first trading blocks, economic, and then, of course, merge the currency and then merge the government. That's why they talk about controlling our borders. They have no intention of controlling our borders. They're not trying to. In fact, they're doing everything they can to encourage people to come to this country, giving them free medical care. And if I was an Indian, or certainly a Mexican living in Mexico, and I knew I could go north of the border with nothing to worry about if I violated their laws, and I could get free medical care at the hospitals, I could get a good education for my children, I could get good wages, I could even send my children to the university or colleges and get that education subsidized by the government, I would be foolish not to come, wouldn't I? And of course, this is what we've done. The government is not going to tell you that they're encouraging people to violate our laws. The leaders of both political parties are in on the scam. And the one thing they fear is that the American people may wake up to realize that the leaders of both political parties are lying. There is another agenda. And while our attention is focused on what's happening in the Middle East and the rising toll of American boys who are over there supposedly fighting for our freedom, why we're losing our freedom here at home. Kevin, how are you this evening?
Well, I'm doing as well as can be expected for those of us who are not just concerned about this move towards globalism, but for the open state-sanctioned murder of an innocent woman. It's hard to, you know, sleep and have peace when we know that's going on. It's a major step towards full-blown euthanasia, another assault on our Christian heritage. So I'm certainly doing much better than a lot of people, and I'm very concerned about what's going on in Florida, too.
Well, I think with very good reason. But I think it's so vitally important that, you know, we understand that what's going on as far as Terry Schiavo is simply a prologue to what they did in Hitler's Germany, saying that the disabled, that certain lives are not worth living. And she's not in a persistent vegetative state. Anybody with half an ounce of intelligence knows that. This is all part of a plan to kill her, but for the impact on the American people. We'll be right back. And we were just talking about Terry Schiavo, and basically the reason that the media is focusing our attention on this case and that this is front page on all the newspapers and being covered by all the television and being covered by all the radio, is they're focusing our attention on this case, saying, well, as long as the court says it's all right to kill somebody, it's all right to kill them. Now, if you were to starve a cat to death, they could send you to prison. If you were to starve a horse to death, they would send you to prison. But it's all right to starve Terry Schiavo because the judge says it's all right. And, of course, we are a nation of laws, aren't we? Go ahead, Kevin.
Well, if we're going to talk about Schiavo, I think that you hit it right on the head. You know, a lot of people look at many of the issues that we're confronting as standalone issues, and that's a mistake. Good-hearted people who have a hot spot, whether it be the pro-life movement or the pro-death movement, concern about private property, concern about the border, various legitimate concerns, look at those issues as standalone issues. And when they don't see that there is an agenda, that there are people and powerful organizations without government, within government, they're really not prepared to do battle. I'm convinced that what you said does indeed have something to do with why Terry is being murdered. It has to do with these people in the legislature, in the executive branch, who certainly, especially the executive, not only have a right but a duty to protect the innocent. But they are showing submission to this judicial oligarchy because they know that much of the move towards globalism, the New World Order, is being done indeed by these black-robed ministers of humanism, the Supreme Court, which more and more is reflecting the values of the ACLU. They are even using foreign government law, international law as precedent. So they want us to submit to judicial tyranny because that helps move this conspiracy along. So it has more to do than just Terry Schiavo. And what's interesting to me...
I certainly agree with you. We're going to have to take a quick break here. I'm going to ask if you hang up. I'll get my producer to call you right back. See if we can maybe able to get just a little bit better line. Then we'll get on to the subject of the FTAA, the Free Trade Zone of the Americas, because we're going to be talking on that subject later this evening. Okay? Then we're going to. I'm going to go ahead and just be right back here at Radio Liberty. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Kevin Shannon, and we're going to be talking this evening about the Free Trade Zone of the Americas. And this is a carefully and diabolically conceived plan, which most people are totally unaware of. They really don't understand that everything is being done by prior agreement, but they have to go slowly, taking this just step by step as they gradually begin to merge our economy with the economy of Mexico and Bolivia and Ecuador and El Salvador. All of these countries are going to be merged together into one large trading bloc, and they're going to come up very, very soon and say, look, we've lost a lot of jobs here, but we're going to be able to get a lot more jobs if we can just increase our trading with the countries of Central America. Well, they lied about NAFTA. They lied about the World Trade Organization. They lie about just about everything. And you would think at one point or other the American people would begin to realize that most of what we are told by government officials is simply not true. But if the American people understood the real plan is to lower our living standards, the real plan is to force us out of our cars, the real plan is to impoverish the elderly here and cut back on all these wonderful social benefits that they've given us by which they bought our support, if the American people understood that behind everything going on, there are dark and sinister spiritual forces, where they would rise up in righteous indignation, as they are in other countries throughout the world, when, of course, they see corruption in the government, when they realize the elections are not free, that they're rigged. But here in America, very few people have any idea about what's really going on. Kevin, are you there?
Yes, I am. Does it sound any better?
Oh, boy, it sounds like a whole different person. So we were going to be talking about this meeting that was held this last week at the Crawford Ranch. And why don't you go into the background of that? Who was there? Why is this so important? And why aren't the American people being told what is really being planned for them and for the future of this country?
You know, what's interesting is that for several decades, those of us who have been warning about this so-called New World Order, saying that there are people both in the Republican and Democratic administrations moving for globalism and one world government, you know, they would just say, well, that sounds kooky. We would talk about the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, and, you know, unless they were willing to do some research, read the books, and pay attention to foreign affairs, you know, it just sounded kooky, but it's coming more out in the open. So I received a press release, and I'm sure all the major networks certainly would have received the same one, from the CFR, dated March 14th. And it said some very shocking things, because it's so out in the open. And this is dated March 14th, a couple weeks ago. And it says three former high-ranking government officials from Canada, Mexico, and the United States are calling for a North American economic and security community by 2010. So what they're talking about, when they say a joint trilateral community, they're obviously talking about merging the three North American countries into one economic and political unit, just as we have been warning about for a long time.
Well, of course, they don't mention the political. That, of course, is what they plan, but they're not going to tell the American people. They're going to talk about economic. It's all about trade and jobs for the American people and keeping our living standards up, whereas exactly the opposite. It's about losing jobs and lowering living standards, but don't let the suckers know what's really going on. So we say one thing, we do another, and, of course, nobody really understands what's happening.
And they get pretty specific in this, in their findings, and this is the basis, this report, that, and of course this meeting was sponsored by the Council on Foreign Relations. And they get into specifics more than just trade, and that's what's pretty amazing. Some of their findings and recommendations are build a North American economic and security community by 2010, they said that we want to have a common external tariff and a common outer security perimeter. Well, an outer security perimeter is called a border. So they're calling for a common border. This is one of the first times I've seen it so open in print. Then they say specifically, and I'm reading from their own report, their own press release, create the institutions necessary for a North American community.
And that's really what it's about. A North American nation is what they're talking about.
And then they say the creation of a North American advisory council to prepare for and implement the decisions made at the summits. They said first we want to have regular summits during the year of these three governments, their representatives, create new institutions, that's new government agencies, trilateral in power, to prepare for and implement the decisions made at the summit. So they're talking about creating law from transnational unelected agencies that have the power to implement their decisions. Now, this bypasses the Constitution. This bypasses Congress. This bypasses our own government and our own law. So they're openly saying this is the groundwork for the meeting that was held last week.
And I really think that's so interesting. A common border. What that means is that the border of the United States would be somewhere down in Central America, and of course up, you know, above the Aleutians, up in the Arctic Circle. What we would do then is unite all of our nations. There would be free traffic. Everybody in Mexico could come to the United States, and everybody in Canada could come to the United States. But what would that do to the structure of our national sovereignty? It's all about ending national sovereignty, but they don't dare tell the American people that. And certainly our elected representatives, most of them don't even know what's going on. And if they do know what's going on, they're afraid to speak out, because if they do, they'll be targeted. There are so many rules and regulations, nobody could possibly certainly abide by them all. And they know what happened to Congressman Hansen. They know what happened to Congressman Traficant. And they certainly know what happened to Congressman Hale Boggs.
Oh, Larry McDonald.
Right, of course. Anybody, of course, who goes against the power elite who control both political parties, well, strange and terrible and terrifying things can happen to them. And so go ahead, Kevin, because I think it's so vitally important. People understand this is a long-range plan. And the most amazing thing is there's not one person in 100,000 in America, unless they listen to programs like yours and mine, who has any idea where this Council on Foreign Relations originated and what the force is behind the Council on Foreign Relations and the true nature of the secret society that it represents here in America.
And that's right. And I want people to know that I'm not just, you know, making this up. I'm reading this from their own press release. Then they can also go to the Council on Relations to get the final report that was issued. It's called Creating a North American Community, sponsor, and talks about this meeting they have. You know, they come up with this proposal in which basically they accepted all of this. But listen to this. They say develop a border pass for who? For North Americans. The chairs propose a border pass with biometric indicators which would allow expedited passage through customs, immigration, airport security throughout North America. So they're calling for not just a national ID, but for a North American ID, because they no longer want to refer to us as independent nations, but the community of the North American communities is what they call it, with an internal passport with biometric measures that will allow free migration. Forget about borders. Forget about immigration are, you know, at all, free migration throughout North America.
And that's really what this whole new legislation that's being put forward now, in the name of controlling immigration, they want to give each one of us a federal ID card with biometric identifiers on it. And, you know, so many of the Republican congressmen honestly believe this has to do with controlling immigration. It has nothing to do with controlling immigration. It has everything to do with establishing just what Kevin's talking about. Everybody will have a government card, and, of course, it's going to encourage immigration down the line. And, of course, it will do be the end of what we know as national sovereignty. And what's really so fascinating and really what's so amazing, just a few months ago we were learning that the United States government has treaties now with Mexico where we will pay into their Social Security fund money for the time that the people have been working here in America illegally.
Yes.
In other words, they can come here, work illegally. If any money goes in Social Security, we give that to Mexico so they can pay the old age pensions in Mexico for the people who've been in this country illegally. What madness is that? Well, you have to understand that this is being coordinated by the Ford Foundation. We have a book called Importing Revolution that goes into the fact that the Ford Foundation is financing organizations like LULAC and MALDAV and other organizations for illegal immigrants. Not for illegal immigrants, but for illegal immigrants. And it was Alberto Gonzalez, who's recently been appointed the Attorney General. Alberto Gonzalez was formerly associated with LULAC. And, of course, the President...
And MALDAV.
And the President of one of those was a former member of the Communist Party. Isn't that interesting? I wonder why the media never picked that up.
Yeah, they didn't. You know, of course, you did, I did, and a few others. And it affects the pro-life, too, because he is a pro-abortion appointee.
Why would a pro-life president appoint a pro-abortion attorney general? Or maybe illusion is usually king. Reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But remember, in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it will be reality, not illusion or delusion, that determines what the future will bring. We'll be right back here with Kevin Shannon talking about the North American Free Trade Zone, which, of course, will soon become the government of the Northern Hemisphere. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this is Kevin Shannon, and we have people are beginning to call in. But right now, we're just going to go ahead and cover a little bit more of this. Tell us, meeting was held last week. Do we have any idea what was actually decided at the meeting?
Well, you know, apparently from what I'm reading, from the White House itself, there was quite an extensive press conference. So basically, they apparently endorse this. Of course, they don't. When they have these summits, they're not actually meeting to try to figure out what to discuss. This has all been laid out ahead of time, which is why this meeting by the senior officials was held, you know, a couple weeks before the meeting. They laid out the specific agenda, and what these guys did, they just came in and formally endorsed it. And so they basically endorsed this plan, this trilateral plan to create a North American partnership. That's what it says from the U.S. State Department. You can go to usinfo.state.gov, and you can see they call it the North American Partnership Offers Agenda for Security, and it admits that this is what they've decided to implement, this report that includes the things I was talking about. One of the other interesting things is to the fact that they said we need to begin to harmonize visa and asylum regulations, joint inspections of containers, traffic entering North American ports, and here's what people need to listen to. Do they really want this? Our friends who voted for Bush, thinking that he was, some thought that, well, we just needed to have him instead of Kerry. Others thought he's legitimately just a great guy. Synchronized screening and tracking of people. They want to have a database that the Mexican government and the Canadian government, as well as our own, will be able to have access to. All of our files will all be in this database with the biometric ID cards. So it's not just the United States, but they also say we want to integrate our watch list. Then it says, listen to this. This, especially since I'm a retired Los Angeles police officer, is very dangerous. Security cooperation should extend to counterterrorism and law enforcement and include the establishment of a tri-national threat intelligence center and joint training for law enforcement officials. They are talking about harmonizing, joining our law enforcement, not just in training, but in operation. And this, of course, is part of the move towards doing away with local law enforcement. We've seen the federal encroachment into local law enforcement. Now they want to merge our law enforcement between the three nations in North America, although they do say the next step through the FTAA is to expand all of this through Central and South America. So how many people who voted for Bush did so thinking that they would like to have our government merged with the wonderful socialist Canadian government and the corrupt Marxist government of Mexico? How many want to be in their database? How many want to have their police officers being, you know, responsible for not just Mexico, but all of the North Americans?
Well, let's go to Bob, who's calling us from Albany, New York. Hi, Bob. How are you doing?
Good evening, Dr. Monteith. Thank you for taking my call.
Good. Do you have a quick question?
Hold on a sec here.
All right. We're going to be back with Bob from Albany, New York in just a moment here. And we'll take...
I'm still here.
Go ahead.
I'm hearing your music.
Well,
there.
This is Dr. Stan and our guest this evening, Kevin Shannon. We've got Bob calling us from Albany, New York. Bob, what's your question?
Oh, yes. I heard your remarks there of your guest, and they want to enumerate everybody and have them, the illegals, pay into us. They want to have us pay into Mexico's social security system.
Right.
I'm wondering, since all these people are undocumented, how can they do that?
Well, many of them, of course, have got some sort of a social security number. Many of them have illegal social security numbers. But many of them are working, and if they're working here, they have their money is being withheld and put into a system. And believe me, they've got some means of doing that. Don't ask me how they're going to do it, but they've already agreed that we will pay into the Mexican Social Security system to help these people, of course, when they go back to Mexico to retire. It doesn't make sense, but then very little going on today makes sense.
Well, I'm just wondering, if they're sending they're sending like money back to Mexico.
They're planning on sending.
And they're doing it, well, they're already doing it now, but they're doing it through Western Union.
Right.
And if all these transactions are numbered and being deposited into bank accounts, maybe this is a tracking system they're setting up through Western Union and all these other, you know, transnational money transfer agencies.
Could very well be. Believe me, they have the capacity to monitor everything you do, every place you travel, every telephone call you make. Everything is being monitored and put into databases. They don't want you to know that. The government is collecting dossiers on every American citizen. If you doubt that, wonderful book written 2 years ago by General William Odom, head of the NSA, where he simply asked, he can't tell you what's going on because he headed one of our largest security agencies, but he asked, should the Defense Department be collecting dossiers on American citizens? What do you think about that, Bob? Should they be collecting dossiers on American citizens?
Sounds like Adolf Hitler's dream to me.
What do you think about that, Kevin?
Well, of course, we've known that they've been using things, computer programs like Echelon and others, to collect these databases. They're pretty open here when you read the Council on Foreign Relations reports, and you see that from this small, relatively small, approximately 4,000 people, they hold powerful positions in the government. And so they're openly calling for this. And when he talks about how can we do it, well, see, they've already said we're going to harmonize all of our institutions, so they will no longer be considered illegal people or undocumented. As soon as we push the Bush non-amnesty amnesty, all of these people, including not just Mexicans, but all the people from the Middle East, from the communist China who have come here with ill intent, who have overstayed their visas, terrorists, they're all coming under the amnesty. And so they're talking about harmonization.
That's really how you do away with crime. You just legalize the crime.
Yeah, just legalize it. I was in a meeting with Congressman David Dreyer from Southern California, along with a talk show host from KABC, a very prominent guy in station in the L.A. area, and about 15 other people that David Dreyer considered to be his opposition on illegal immigration. And he was pushing this ID, this Social Security card with a photograph and trying to make it into a national ID.
Well, of course, David Dreyer is part of the Council on Foreign Relations,
yes.
So you would expect to be going along with the fascist concepts.
That's right. And I said, Congressman Dreyer, you want us to accept those. Does that mean you want all the illegal aliens out of the country? He slammed his fist and said, by the way, this other talk show host recorded this and played it on the air. He says, absolutely. I said, fine then. Will you join with Congressman Tom Tancredo and a group of other Republicans who say they are opposed to Bush's amnesty proposal? Will you stand with them? And then he just looked angry and he says, no. And I said, well then, you are not being straightforward with us because you said you want them all out. Now you say you want to make them all legal. I asked him, can they have this Social Security card? He says, not now. I said, what about if the amnesty goes through? Again, he was mad. He says, well, yes, because then they will be legally here. So they are lying to us. They intend to dissolve the concept of statehood, and that's what this is about.
Bob, did you have anything else you wanted to say?
Yes, I was curious about your guest mentioned the biometric chip.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of, they're doing that in cattle.
Oh, they've
all sorts of livestock for a few years.
Well, don't do that, but you see, they really look upon us as cattle.
That's exactly. We're being tracked across the borders. We're just cattle roaming over the free range.
And, of course, they've lied. They've gone to the various state departments of motor vehicles to get your picture. They're all going into databanks all across the country along with your fingerprints. And, of course, they'll be collecting more biometric data. Don't you worry. This is long-range planning. We'll be right back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, our guest this evening, Kevin Shannon. Bob, do you have anything else to say before we let you go? And certainly, you're right, absolutely right on. We share all of the concerns you express, and we just need to get more people educated as to what's really going on. Anything else you want to say, Bob?
No, sir, but you're doing a great work out there, and God bless you.
Well, please get everybody up there in Albany listening to us. God bless.
Sir.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay, fine. And, of course, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295 if you have a question or comment. And we're really talking about this plan program of destroying national sovereignty. It's long-range planning. You can go back and you can read an article that Richard Gardner, Rhodes Scholar, member of the Council on Foreign Relations, wrote back in the Foreign Affairs magazine, which is the theoretical journal of the Council on Foreign Relations, in April of 1974, where he talked about having to do an end run around the Constitution. And, of course, we would use GATT, we would use the World Trade Organization, we would use the Law of the Sea Treaty and similar international treaties to do away with national sovereignty. That's what it's all about. But we can't let the American people know because, you see, they're not smart enough to know what we elitists know, and that is we need a world government that we can run. That's what really the way they feel about it. They believe in the noblesse oblige. We need a world-ruling aristocracy. And that's what the Council on Foreign Relations really is. It is a front group for a group of British aristocrats who back in 1891 formed a secret society, and they took over control of the British government. Then they took over control of the American government and the banking system and our corporations and our foundations. And of course, they really control the people who run for president in both political parties. Although George Bush is not a member of the CFR, he does come from another secret society. But, of course, George Bush's daddy was on the board of directors of the CFR, and he was a member of the Trilateral Commission. He was a member of the Bilderbergers. Daddy Bush, of course, is the real force behind George Bush today. This thing is all being manipulated and controlled. And the war over in the Middle East, although it may have to do somewhat with replacing the governments over there and putting people in who will be willing to go along with this world government. In other words, what we're going to do is replace any world leader who will not do our bidding, and we'll either kill him, we'll buy him off, or we'll simply go to war with him and replace him and then put him on trial. But you have to understand that the idea is a one world government, a new world order. It's coming down the line like a freight truck, and most Americans don't even see it coming. Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Kevin Shannon, and of course our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, they're collecting dossiers on you and on your children. They know exactly what they're doing. It's all done in the name, of course, of fighting terrorism. Oh, the wicked terrorists, and yet this last week we found out that they have air marshals on less than 10% of the planes in America. Now, if there's really a threat of terrorism, you would think there'd be air marshals on every plane. Wouldn't you think that? Unless, of course, this whole threat of terrorism is really a scam. Isn't it amazing, with all the terrorists who hate America all over the world, that we haven't had one serious attack on the United States going back to September 11th, 2001. Why would that be? Well, very, very simple. Because with the intelligence capability we have, we know who every terrorist is. We're watching them. We've infiltrated their organizations. We know everything that's going on, and we'd done that beforehand. And if you honestly believe we had not infiltrated the Al-Qaeda movement, well, why is it the Massawi, remember the 20th hijacker, has said, I was watched from the moment I came into America. And you can go up and Google and verify that fact, or we can get the information for you. Massawi said, I was tracked. Why, they were watching every single one of those people. They were watching Muhammad Atta when he was in Europe. You mean they stopped watching him when he came back to America? They knew everything that was going on. They cannot let the American people know that, because maybe they would begin to suspect that maybe the war in the Middle East is not being fought to capture Osama bin Laden. Maybe it is a great diversion. While we watch the rising casualty count from overseas, we lose our freedom. here at home. This is exactly what Vietnam was all about. So pick up the story from there, Kevin.
Well, you know, continuing with what the meeting was about last week, they also said that we needed, again, in this move towards harmonization, that we need not just to begin merging our law enforcement, but our military. We already have set up, you know, the Joint North American Command, which is the first time we had a command that was not designated to some other foreign part of the world, but this is over the United States. That has already been staffed by U.S. and Canadian military. They said we need to invite Mexico, I'm quoting, to consider closer military cooperation in the future. They want to have a joint military. They even talk about recently having a joint military training in Costa Rica. Because, as I said, in the press briefing, what people can get from the White House, March 23rd, Bush and Fox and Paul Martin from Canada, in the briefing, they endorsed this. In other words, they came out and said, we are endorsing all of this. And Bush says, and then we need to extend it through FTAA to Central America and South America. So they're talking again about making the equivalent of a European community that has each nation gives up their sovereignty, their currency, and their elected representative government.
Well, things are going to have to get a lot worse before the American people will accept that, but they will eventually accept it. They'll have another terrorist attack or two, and they'll say, oh, gee, we've got to cement our borders, and we've got to extend our control over the American people. We're going to have to suspend voting and things like that to protect our freedom. And they're going to use the crisis management to take away our freedom. This is really what it's all about. I think it was H.G. Wells in his book, The New World Order, published back in the 1930s, who said, millions will hate the New World Order and will die fighting it. This is what it's all about. This is long-range planning. They know exactly what they're doing. And it is amazing how well they've been able to conceal that from the American people. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And, of course, with so many of our troops overseas, we really don't have a very effective National Guard. Our National Guard's overseas, our Army Reserve's overseas. Well, but we'll always have the Mexican Constabulary, the Mexican Army, to help maintain law and order in this new, wonderful North American hemisphere, won't we?
Yes, isn't that great? And the precedent has already been set. You remember after the terrorist attack on 9/11, and this is after Rumsfeld had decided to cut our military by an additional 25% from what had happened under the Clinton administration, so we shut down some of our air wings. We did not have enough fighter jets to patrol the United States. We invited in NATO. They flew AWACS planes that years ago, work for the National Security Agency. I know what the technology was even back then, and it's increased. They were flying over here, including military people from Islamic nations, from Norway and other nations, as well as fighter jets who had permission to shoot down American airlines if they were suspected of being taken over by terrorists. So everyone said, isn't it wonderful? The UN's finally protected the United States. So the precedent was set under who? A Republican administration, not a Democratic one.
Well, I think, of course, what's so interesting is the next big move is going to try to increase the United Nations Army now. Of course, yeah. Right now, the NATO is working as a surrogate for the United Nations Army.
Yes.
Yeah, have you ever wondered why, when we won the Cold War, why do we still need NATO? Why didn't we just economize and bring all the troops home? Because NATO was to function as the world army until such time as the United Nations would have the wealth and the power and the acceptance to have its own world army. And that now, of course, they're working on that. You know, all this sending troops to Darfur or in Africa, and they have some troops over in the Congo, of course, committing terrible atrocities and raping the women there. But after all, the United Nations troops, and isn't that a great thing that we've got the United Nations troops there raping the women?
Yeah, I mean, look at what's going on. People say, well, you know, world government makes sense, you know, because we can stop having wars. You know, the more power there is, the more evil there is concentrated with that power. So we've seen the United Nations has proven itself to be utterly corrupt. Look at Kofi Annan, his son, what's going on, the atrocities that have been committed by United Nations, going at least back to Katanga, where they slaughtered innocent people. It continues to this day. And yet people think, well, you know, won't that be good if we let them, let those United Nations handle the world problems? If we allow and that the UN can intervene in other countries' affairs, how can we say they can't intervene in U.S. affairs? And in fact, Bush recently has said they can. And that's why he ordered the states to comply with the International World Court, the UN World Court, in allowing rehearings of these 51 Mexican nationals on death row. He said, we are doing this, I'm ordering the states to do it, because we are going to be in compliance with international law and the world court.
And, of course, the whole idea is to really bring America into compliance, do away with our laws, so that the whole world will be ruled by a common law. Only trouble is the laws of the world are not based upon God's law. They're based upon man's law. Individuals have no rights to habeas corpus. Individuals have no right to a speedy trial. And all the rights guaranteed to us under our Constitution will simply become, very soon, a remembrance of things past. And where is the outcry from the American people? Where is the outcry from our conservative and Republican leaders? Where is the outcry from our religious leaders, who in centuries past were the champions of freedom because they believed America was this wonderful experiment of a nation under God? A nation that acknowledged God as the source of its freedom, and the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution was established to obtain and maintain those God-given rights. But, of course, the clergy in America has largely abandoned this country. And they will do what's expedient. And now, of course, many of them are accepting large sums of money, the faith-based initiative. And many of our major Christian ministries are accepting $1 million or a couple of $1 million from the government so they can do good. But, of course, when they're doing good, will they speak out against the corruption in our government? And will they speak out against this internationalist dream of a new world order and a new world religion?
No, so many of them are absolute apostates. And we can do a lot of finger-pointing. And there's a lot of bad people, a lot of bad organizations. But I think fundamentally we have to say that it's the men, the fathers, and the husbands in America who have failed their God-given responsibility. They're responsible for allowing this to happen. And the pulpits in America have failed in their responsibility. And that's where we need to point the fingers first, because we did not have to allow a judicial oligarchy to exist. We did not have to allow these organizations like the CFR, the Trilaterals, the Bilderbergers to have any influence at all. It began at the home. And that's where the solution needs to begin as well. And the pulpits. When we have, and I'm sure you have it, on film, Billy Graham saying that you don't even have to be a Christian to go to heaven. You can be Hindu. You can be Muslim. You can be an atheist. And he did this for Robert Schuller at the Crystal Cathedral. This is total apostasy. And yet he's called our nation's, you know, pastor. Well, they've abandoned biblical truth. They've abandoned totally their responsibility to stand up for righteousness, as have a large percentage of the American men, or males, I guess we call them.
Well, I think one of the biggest problems is, Kevin, that the average American does not understand what's going on. He finds it difficult to believe that the leaders of both political parties would be going exactly the same direction, and that they pretend to fight back and forth between themselves, but that's all showbiz.
Yeah.
But, of course, when you have a two-party system, just stop and think about it. You know, if you have a two-party system and you control both political parties, there isn't any opposition to your plans. And this is what was planned long, long ago. Man, this is exactly what they intended. They've been working on this for well over 100 years. They have long-term plans. You and I plan from day to day, from week to week, to month to month. They plan from generation to generation because I believe they're energized by dark and sinister spiritual forces. And this plan for a new world order goes back to the ancient mystery religions, back even long before Alexander the Great, who set out to conquer the world. This has always been the plan, and I think it was determined that at this time in history it would come about. We would create a one-world government in preparation for the coming of the new world leader. Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Kevin, how can people get the information you're talking about? Do you make that available? How can they determine for their own sake of their, you know, that this is really true? I know it's true, and I know you wouldn't be putting it out if it wasn't true, but where can they get this information?
You know, what's interesting is how available it is. Now, I post a lot of this on our website. But, you know, and they can go to a breaking news or a commentaries, and normally I have these stories up there for, you know, a day or two, but we have a complete archive going back years with an easy search. But for instance, they can go to, and I have a link to the Council on Foreign Relations. They can read for themselves. It was on their front page until it may be still there. I'm having some internet problems right now, or I'd check it out. Their report, Creating a North American Community. They can go to the White House on a regular basis like I do. And instead of just reading the reports of what the president says, read his speeches. They are available. So they can go to the White House website, and it'll have a place that says, you know, speeches and different things. And here, March 23rd, President meets with President Fox and Prime Minister Martin. It goes right into it. They are saying, I mean, this is from their official websites.
Well, how can people get to your website and get your information, Kevin?
They can go to www.welch, that's W-E-L-C-H, report.com. And I'm like you. I like to, when I go on the air, when I do public speaking, I don't hold up conservative magazines or books for my proof. Now, I do recommend people read those and buy those. But I like to hold up the original documents just as you do, and they are out there like each one's a small piece of a puzzle. And if people look at them alone, it won't make any sense. They need to take time to begin putting the pieces together, just as I did when I was a police officer. You took this piece of evidence, and maybe it didn't make sense until you saw it in context with another piece of evidence and begin to look at the whole picture. And it's out there. It's really, yes, it is a conspiracy. They don't want us to understand it. But they've had to come out, and so all of the material is available. As the Lord says, those who will seek the truth will find it. But it takes some effort, and that takes some moral character.
I think it's so interesting that they kept the existence of the Council on Foreign Relations really totally secret in America from 1921 when it was created up till 1958 when the first major article appeared. It appeared in Esquire magazine in June or July of that year by Joseph Kraft, and then of course there were some books that were written. But even you know, after Dan Smoot wrote The Invisible Government, and John Stürmer wrote his book, and Professor Quigley wrote his book, and Gary Allen wrote his book in 1971, they still kept the Council on Foreign Relations out of the newspapers for probably another 15 to 20 years. And then only in this last decade did they suddenly begin talking about the Council on Foreign Relations as it was the most normal thing in the world. Of course, everybody knows about it. But, of course, by then they had their people in key positions in every branch of our government. And they controlled, their members controlled all of the major means of communication. Anybody who doubts that, we have a wonderful article written back in October 30th of 1993, written by Richard Harwood, who'd been the national editor of the Washington Post and retired in 1988. And then in 1993, he wrote this article. They stuck it on page 21 where nobody would ever read it, but he talked about their control of the media, and he just listed all the things that they control. They control every major means of communication in America. And as he said, these people don't simply report on foreign policy, they help make it. And this is how the system works. They, at that time, 1993, the president was a member, the Secretary of State was a member, Deputy Secretary of State was a member, five Assistant Secretaries of State and a number of Undersecretaries, the legal advisor to the Secretary of State, the head of the CIA, the head of the Housing and Development, almost every major staff position, as well as the David Gergen, who was the public relations person. Nobody, and yet at that time, almost nobody had heard of the Council on Foreign Relations. Kevin, thank you so much for being with us. Oh, one minute. We've got about three more minutes, so I've got to keep you until that. And we have one more caller. We'll talk to him, Jack, from Michigan, when we get back here in just a moment, and then we'll let you go. Well, we've got Jack. Jack, did you have something to say? You've just got about 3 minutes to go.
Right. Well, he did mention the speeches in the original inaugural speech. Junior Skull and Bones Bush did mention that there's still an angel in the whirlwind directing the storm. That was right next to the end of his inaugural speech.
Was that the first inaugural speech or the second one?
The very first one.
All right, fine.
And then, secondly, did either of you hear the earlier remark of the judge of the state of Florida stating that Congress and the United States government did not have legal standing in the Terry Schindler matter. And I've done some research and see the marriage license is with the state of Florida. It's a commercial nexus contract that...
What was the point you wanted to make? Because we're just about out of time.
Yeah, I just wanted to know if Mr. Welch has ever addressed the fact that people are contracting into a bankrupted entity that has no legal standing except by ignorant acquiescence.
Okay, fine. How would you respond to Jack on that?
Well, I'm familiar with the arguments. I think it's a moot point, and I don't buy into it. I've had people regularly tell me that by voting, that they are entering into a contract where they have to accept this global tyranny and whatnot. And I just, I don't care how technical the arguments, I think that it's basically, it's specious.
I always like to say that you've got a lot of great information. You're going to be one of the smartest people in the concentration camp. Because instead of doing anything to try to preserve America, why you're using all this sophistic type of argument, and in the end it's all just sounding symbols, signifying absolutely nothing.
Right. I've had people tell me on the air that that's why they no longer vote. I spoke before a group of nice people who had all these technical arguments, and they hold up their own ID cards, and they say when the New World comes, the New World Order, they're going to be exempt because they have not bought into this maritime law, and they'll hold up their cards, and supposedly, I guess, the gulag and the tanks will just drive around them and say, hey, can't touch them. So I just don't think that's what we should be arguing.
Well, I think I certainly agree with you, and I think we have a real problem. I think we ought to address it, and we'll be talking about the Terry Schiavo case in this coming hour. Hey, Kevin, I want to thank you so very much. Again, put out your web space one more time.
WelchReport.com.
Okay. Well,
and I appreciate it so much, Dr. Stan. I appreciate everything that you've taught me over the years and for being willing to mentor people like me.
Well, you're doing a great job. You don't need much mentoring. Good night, and God bless you,
Kevin. Good night.
Thank you so very much. And our guest this evening has been Kevin Shannon, who has his own radio program and does a great, great job. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, this is the time when we want to remind you that to understand what's really going on, you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to read it. You need to
reread it.
You need to begin studying these forces that are out there working behind the scenes. We carry an excellent book called Shadows of Power by James Perloff, goes in the background of the Council on Foreign Relations. We have a Global Tyranny, Step by Step. Also an excellent book on the Council on Foreign Relations. That's Shadows of Power and Global Tyranny, Step by Step, by Bill Jasper. So here are two books in addition to my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, which will give you insight into how this all works. We carry Rule by Secrecy by Jim Mars, an excellent book. Hope of the Wicked by Ted Flynn, which, of course, gives you the overview of this spiritual battle and the secret societies which really are there. The Skull and Bones is a secret society. The inner core of the Council on Foreign Relations, I'm talking about the very, very small group who lead this organization, of course, can trace their origin back to the secret society that Cecil Rhodes created in 1891. And we know what happened because one of the members of the secret society was thrown out. His name was William Stead, and he wrote about it. We have his diary. We have the articles he wrote, books he wrote about the secret society that Cecil Rhodes created to take over control of the world. And, of course, this Council on Foreign Relations works in conjunction with the Rhodes Scholarships, and that's why Bill Clinton was a Rhodes Scholar and Strobe Talbot's a Rhodes Scholar, and Gardner was a Rhodes Scholar, and Richard Gardner. There are so many Rhodes Scholars put into key positions in government, in our court system. What is this really all about? Well, it is about the fact that the young men go off to Oxford. They're trained there in internationalism. They form a sort of a brotherhood, and then they come back. And according to the writings of, we have a book written in 1946 by Frank Etiolette called The Vision of Cecil Rhodes, and he writes there of how when the Oxford students come back to America, the Rhodes Scholars, they join the Council on Foreign Relations. And so most of them join the Council on Foreign Relations and continue working towards this idea of a one-world government under a ruling elite. That's what it's about, and it will continue to be about that. Our job is to let the American people understand that these people have a different worldview, and their view encompasses the destruction of America. And when these people enter government and they swear to uphold our Constitution and defend it against all enemies, foreign and domestic, they are domestic enemies to our Constitution. By definition of the Patriot Act, they are terrorists because they would change our form of government. And some of those people are working within the Supreme Court today. They're working at every level of our government. The books you need to get, Brotherhood of Darkness, Hope of the Wicked, Shadows of Power, Global Tyranny, Step by Step. They will all take you to the same conclusion that I have, that there really is a secret movement working here to destroy America. If you've not yet gotten my 4-tape set on the secret government, or our 4-tape set on secret societies, you need to get it. One of those talks is a talk I gave for Concerned Women of America very many years ago, where we go into the background of Cecil Rhodes' secret society, the secret society he created to take over the government, and the front organization for that in the United States today is an organization known as the Council on Foreign Relations. More verification, Professor Quigley's wonderful book, Tragedy and Hope, The History of the World in Our Time. Well, ladies and gentlemen, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Our website, radioliberty.com, radioliberty.com. Remember, we do carry the Berkey products and so many other things. Please go to our website. You can listen to our programs there 5 hours a day. And then when you get tired of that, well, you can listen to the archives. Help us educate you and America. So, we'll be back here in just a moment or two for the next hour. Until then, may the Lord be with you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. And our guest this evening is Randy Thomason. Randy, how are you doing?
Good to be with you, Dr. Stan.
And he would ask what station we're on. Well, of course, we're you can be heard anywhere in the country on Internet at RadioLiberty.com. We're on two shortwave stations. And incidentally, for our listeners out there across America, right now, of course, you can hear us at 5.835. We will be on that after the 4th of April, but we are changing our other shortwave frequency to 7.465 as of the 4th of April. So that's 7.465. Our afternoon broadcast will shift from where it is to 11.515. That's on the 4th. The afternoon program goes from 11.515 megahertz. One of the evening channels changes to 7.465. The other one stays at 5835. So then, of course, there's stations all across the country. But I'm afraid, Randy, we don't have any stations up in the Sacramento area. We have a station here in the Central Coast of California, stations certainly in Texas, stations in New York and in Indiana, in Michigan in Tennessee and in Alabama, but nothing there in the central part of California. It's of course their loss. They're not going to get a chance to hear the program.
Well, I'm just going to remember RadioLiberty.com.
RadioLiberty.com is the place to go.
That's right. And Dr. Stan, you do more for a man of your age than any man I know in comparison. I thank God for you.
Well, that's because I take the right pills, which my wife gives me every morning, keeps me young.
Anyway. Well, you know, there's too many men who have spent their life serving others and working, and then they say, okay, I'm going to live on the golf course. And you know what? That's a waste of retirement years.
You're absolutely right. Well, I will tell you that my life is a very, very exciting life and a very gratifying life, because hopefully we're maybe reaching some people and getting them to think. And if I can accomplish that and pass on some of what I've learned during those last 43 years to others, then, of course, I will have served a useful purpose. And besides that, I believe this is a spiritual battle. I'm not here to convince people. I'm here to give them the information, and I believe if the Lord wants them to be convinced, they'll be convinced.
Well, so, certainly, and you know, as we talk about the right to die in this country, you know what? It's not that question anymore. It's, do we have a right to live? Because Terry Schindler, called Schiavo, but I can't call her that because her husband is her murderer, in my opinion. He is the one who sentenced her to death. And I'll tell you, I would be in favor of state-instituted divorce in this case, because when you are targeted for extinction, you need someone to rescue you. And it wasn't a judge, and it wasn't her bad husband. And it's not, apparently, the Congress either.
Well, I think that what people have to understand is this thing is being orchestrated by the people who believe in, they talk about death with dignity. What they really want to do is kill off the elderly or the disabled people, exactly as they did in Hitler's Germany. The lawyer is handling this for Michael Schiavo. Basically, has handled many other similar cases or other similar cases, where, of course, it's simply been a matter of murdering disabled people. And it is all part of a right to die program. They talk about death with dignity. There's very little dignity when you starve somebody to death. If you were to starve a cat to death, or a kitten to death, or a puppy to death, you'd go to prison. But it's all right to starve a human being. And you wonder, of course, is there any intelligent life here on Earth yet? And I completely believe that the American people are going to have to understand what this is all about. Well, why don't we just go ahead and pick up the story from there, Randy, because you've been on the front lines of this battle, and we've seen you on television telling people, talking about this issue. So why don't you pick up the story?
Well, as we talk tonight, Terry may be on her last lap. She has gone, 11 days without food or water. And it shows that her Her kidneys are not even processing anything right now. The other organs are going to start shutting down, and she is going to be disposed of. We put on our website at SaveCalifornia.com or SaveAmerica.net, we put there, America murders an innocent woman. And I'll tell you why. Because we have seen now, before our very eyes, for almost 2 weeks, we have seen an innocent woman who, when asked, "Do you want to live?" she said, "I want," but she couldn't get farther than that because her bad husband has denied her therapy. She has left no written instructions about whether she wanted to live or die. You have seen a court defy the Congress when the Congress said, "Let's investigate this further." And I am sickened by it. I'm absolutely sickened by this, because here we have over 100,000 tax-funded abortions in California, where you and I live, Dr. Stan, each and every year. So we know the attack upon life in the womb has been rampant for years and years now. Now the death crowd, the pro-death crowd, is turning their sights upon the disabled. And it is easy to say the disabled doesn't help anyone. Well, you know what? They help us understand that human life, innocent human life, is precious. And those who are poor and needy among us can teach us a virtue called patience and love that do not come naturally, but often come through adversity and perseverance. And so, yes, they play a huge part, those who are disabled, in teaching us to love. But we must not dispose of them. Again, Terry is being treated worse than a dog. She's being treated worse than a convicted terrorist in prison. She's being treated worse than a serial murderer on death row. Being killed by death, the death from...
Hold that right there, Randy. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Randy Thomason from the Campaign for California Families. And Randy has, in the past year, has been a regular guest here, and it's so good to have him back here again as we're talking about what's really going on there. Now, we're being told, and you watch television, you'll see this fella come on and say, why she's comfortable, she's very, you know, she's not in any pain, and she's just drifting off, and, you know, that she's no pain at all. Well, then, of course, the next thing you're going to hear is the nurses have started an IV morphine drip on her. Well, if she's not in any pain, why are they giving an IV morphine drip? Well, they're giving an IV morphine drip to relieve the pain, so of course she's not feeling any pain. This whole thing is a matter of how you're going to kill Terry Schiavo. And, of course, if you look at it from a purely utilitarian point of view, she's non-productive. She's not providing anything to society. And you could say, well, wouldn't society be better off without her? Wouldn't she actually be better off? Look at all the money it's costing to keep her alive and all the nursing hours that are involved. But you see, what we're doing is forgetting about God, and you cannot take any mention of God out of this discussion. People will say, oh, you don't want to bring religion into this. Well, the religion has to be the very core of the discussion, in my way of thinking. Why? Because it is the very core of the substance of this nation. This nation was founded on religious principles. The Declaration of Independence was the statement upon which this whole concept of our government rests, that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men were created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. And then, of course, it was, that was 1776. And then, of course, about 11 years later, they held the Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia. And they laid out a means by which we could actually incorporate those ideas into the law of our nation. Did our Constitution mention God? Of course it did. It talked about, you know, how in the day of our Lord that this would be accepted, that we would, certainly when we were considering how long bills would be before the president had to sign them, with the exception of Sundays. Why? Because that was the Lord's Day. Everybody knew in those days that this was a Christian nation, and it was known up until 50 years ago when the wicked people began, of course, working within our courts to take God out of our schools and God out of our institutions and certainly God out of our consciousness, and targeted the minds of our youth. Of course, you can still open the Supreme Court when the crier comes in and says, God save the United States and this honorable court. But, of course, we can't mention God in schools. You have to understand this is all about God. And once you take that out of our society, then anything goes. And if there is no God, then why not kill every disabled person? Why not do exactly what Adolf Hitler did? What Adolf Hitler did was utilitarian. They destroyed the lives that were not worth living, and the courts decide which one those were. They destroyed the useless eaters. And, of course, the courts went right along with it. Just like they're going along with it in America today. Randy, go ahead.
Well, you said it well, Dr. Stan. I today read a statement from the Christian Medical and Dental Association. These are faith-based doctors. These are mostly Christian doctors. And Dr. David Stevens, who heads it up, described that Terry is not in a persistent vegetative state, because she can move around. She can express. In fact, she even tries to say things. And she has raised her arms. And so, you know, she can move with restrictions. She can even talk with restrictions. It's called lack of therapy. I mean, Dr. Fenn, you've had to have therapy to get better in some areas, right?
Right.
You know the value of that. You've been a doctor for years. I just want to read you something about how painful it is to die from starvation, okay? Because we need to realize that George Fellows, the pro-euthanasia attorney for Michael Schiavo, when he goes in and sees Terry and then comes out and tells the media, oh, she looks so peaceful. She looks so beautiful. She's got flowers. It's so... She's dying in peace, going like she would want to.
That's because they're giving her morphine drip.
Yeah, it's a big fat lie. I mean, this guy's talking, I think, like the devil would lie. And I think we have to look at this, and I want to just read here what happens when a person is dying from starvation and dehydration, like Terry is right now. She's going into her 12th day. Now, Dr. Stevens said, quote, is dying of thirst and dehydration a painless death, as some experts have asserted? Most so-called experts have never seen someone die in this manner. Unfortunately, having worked for 13 years in Africa, where the most common cause of death in children is dehydration from gastroenteritis, I have seen hundreds, if not thousands, of patients with dehydration, and some of them so far gone that despite resuscitation attempts, they died. Quote, as dehydration begins, there is extreme thirst, dry mouth, and thick saliva. The patient becomes dizzy, faint, and unable to stand or sit, has severe cramping in the arms and legs as the sodium and potassium concentrations in the body goes up as fluids go down. In misery, the patient tries to cry, but there are no tears. The patient experiences severe abdominal cramps, nausea, and dry heaving as the stomach and intestines dry out. By now the skin and lips are cracking and the tongue is swollen. The nose may bleed as the mucous membranes dry out and break down. The skin loses elasticity, thins, and wrinkles. The hands and feet become cold as the remaining fluids in the circulatory system are shunted to the vital organs in an attempt to stay alive. The person stops urinating and has severe headaches as their brain shrinks from lack of fluids. The patient becomes anxious, but then gets progressively more lethargic. Some patients have hallucinations and seizures as their body chemistry becomes even more imbalanced. This proceeds to coma before death occurs. The final event, as the blood pressure becomes almost undetectable, is a major heart arrhythmia that stops the heart from pumping. And he ends by saying, contrary to those that try to paint a picture of a gentle process, death by dehydration is a cruel, inhumane, and often agonizing death. And I will even say it's probably even more painful than death by crucifixion.
Well, of course, you know, one of the interesting things is this this attorney, this fellow's guy, he says, oh, and her lips aren't chapped, you know, and she's so peaceful. Why is it that the television cameras always tell what he says? Why don't they put on a medical expert who describes, as you just have, what the real process of dying of dehydration really is about? And it is because the people who control the mass media want to give you the idea, oh, it's so peaceful, you know, she's just, and her lips aren't chapped. Now, why don't they show the other side? Because our reality is being shaped by the people who control the mass media, and this is the first step along the slippery slope towards euthanasia of all lives that aren't worth living. Of all of the useless eaters, and of the elderly, of course, who are since a drain on our society and are no longer productive, people say it couldn't happen here, and I would ask, why couldn't it happen here? It happened to Thierry Schiavo, and of course the president went right along with it. He did play acting, he pandered to the public. He has the power, as the President of the United States, to sign an executive order and send in the National Guard or the Army itself.
I agree with you. I'm disappointed with George Bush and Jeb Bush, his brother, the governor of Florida, because there are executive powers where they can go in and do just about anything. Even if it winded up in court later, Jeb Bush could rescue Terry, but no, he kowtowed to a very bad judge, Judge Greer. And I give Jeb Bush some credit. He tried, but he caved much too early. And I would have liked to see him stand up and say, you know what? Murder is unacceptable in Florida. And we're not going to let an innocent woman be murdered. This is the longest murder we've ever seen. We're going to rescue her. And I will say the right to life is a very important life, and I will defend that in court. And we are going to get Michael's custody of her revoked. This man should not have custody. It's like the wolf guarding the hen house.
Well, let me read something. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunity of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without the due process of law, nor deny to any person within his jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. And then it goes on to say, the Congress shall have the power to enforce by appropriate legislation the provisions of this article.
Right.
And that is the 14th Amendment, and whether we agree with it or not, it's the law of the land, and President Bush knows that's the law of the land. He had the ability to intervene, and he refused to do it.
And when you consider, Dr. Stan, that unborn babies don't get much respect because the pro-abortion crowd will not regard them as a person, and that's why they say, well, you cannot deprive a personless person of life. They're not a person. But there's no doubt Terry is a person. And so here we have the 14th Amendment that says a person shall not be denied life without due process of law. Has she done a crime deserving of capital punishment? None at all. Yet she's being starved and dehydrated, not before our very eyes, but before our very ears as we listen to the agony of America as she goes through the throes of death.
Well, I think that I consider the president and his brother, Jeb Bush, both, of course, pandered. They pretended they were going to do something. They had no intention of doing anything. And of course, we have to give this idea, as long as the judges say it's all right, why we're going to do it? Well, I'll tell you what, if any of them had any courage, they would have taken action, they would have protected Terry, and then they could say, impeach me. And I will tell you, the American people would have rallied behind them. We're looking for heroes, but we don't have any anymore. Well, our guest this evening is Randy Thomason. We're talking about the Terry Schiavo case, and this is really one of the great tragedies of our time, and of course the significance of what has happened will extend far beyond Terry's death. because it establishes a precedent. As long as the judge says you're going to die, you may be entirely innocent, but if they feel that you are not worthy of life, they can take your life from you. And if these judges are not tried and convicted and sentenced to prison for their misuse of the law, and the other judges who covered for them are not held responsible, then no man's life and no man's property in this country will ever be safe again, in my estimation. If you're out there in the listening audience, you agree or disagree, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Miranda, you're on the front lines of this battle. What response are you getting from people across America? And you know, there's many people who feel that, well, we really ought to let the older people die, because how else are we going to be able to keep Social Security going, and how else are we going to be able to pay our bills? And certainly, after all, when you get to a certain age, you're really no use to a society. Look what other civilizations do. Why, and the Indians, they just left the older people along the trail to die. Or the Eskimos, they put them out on an ice floe to die. Isn't that more kind when people are no longer useful to the tribe? Can the tribe afford to keep people going when they're no longer can be productive? And this is the attitude that is increasingly being circulated here in the United States. Even within our classes across America, we're teaching children death education. Why are we teaching them death education? Why are we teaching them suicide education when, you know, they know very little about history, they know very little about the geography, they know very little about much of anything other than sex and suicide and dying? Don't you think that what we're doing is preparing our children for this brave new humanist school where the society where human life will have no value?
Yes, I do. Because we see different phenomena in our country already with children without a conscience. We hear more and more news reports of children who kill in Washington, D.C. Remember, he just was promised no death penalty because the U.S. Supreme Court says you don't know what you're doing when you are mass murderer at age 17, but you do know what you're doing when you're mass murderer at age 18. You see a boy shooting up other students on an Indian reservation. You can interview any police officer about the lack of conscience in young thugs. You can talk to somebody in the California Youth Authority, where here in the state where I live, they say that there's really not much hope for these kids that are locked up in there because these kids don't have a conscience. And when we look at what's happened in the government school system, I could not place my children in the government school system based on what I know, because the homosexual education, the condom education, the evolution education, the dumbing down of academics, all of this contributes to not seeing even the students as made in the image of God, capable of learning. We have in California a report that just was issued by none other than Harvard, which said that in California, just about
hold,
half...
Hold up, hold that stuff right there, Randy. We got it. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Randy Thomason for the Campaign for California Families. And Randy is certainly a spokesman for morality and for families and for traditional values here in the state of California. And Randy is talking about some of the things that are going on today. Randy is talking about a recent Harvard study evaluating the schools here in California. Go ahead.
The study, which is posted on our website, SaveCalifornia.com, basically found that half of Black, Latino, and American Indian students in California public schools are dropping out. Half are dropping out. They are not being even given the encouragement, motivation, stimulation in 6 hours of school to continue. The value of education is not being taught to them. And I would dare say that comes from teachers who aren't inspiring. And teachers can point to the home, of course, which has a huge influence if the parents aren't stimulating and progressing the children along. But I'll tell you, you give me kids for 6 hours a day, 5 hours a week, or even 1 hour a day, 5 days a week, you are going to see some kids who get challenged by me. And they would be challenged by you too, Dr. Stan, to basically say you are made in the image of God. You are somebody who is valuable. If you apply yourself, I would say you can do it. You can do it over and over again. And I see our public school system has gotten rottener and rottener. It's become a moral cesspool. And we have to say, how do we turn this around? Well, we turn it around by putting parents back in charge, and we wrestle control away from the unions and give it to the parent. That would come through parental choice or parental vouchers. One or the other, you have to get the control away from the unions and that are just funneling money into the pockets of the administrators and the teachers. And you need to reward good teachers with merit pay. You need to fire bad teachers. You need to reward good schools. You need to shut down bad schools. You need to get really tough, because every generation that goes forward, either indoctrinated with immoral education and dumbed down with low academics, that's a lost generation.
I agree with you totally, but it's very interesting. My wife just brought me something. Apparently the neurologist, Dr. Cranford, who was employed or hired by Terry Schiavo to examine his wife and then testify in court before the judge, Judge Greer. The neurologist, and I'm reading here from the World Net Daily, the neurologist chosen by Michael Schiavo to examine his estranged wife, Terry, is a Right to Die activist who'd been a featured speaker for the pro-euthanasia Hemlock Society. Dr. Ronald Cranford testified in the court case before County Court Judge George Greer that Terry Schiavo was in a persistent vegetative state with no hope of recovery. "I've seen her," he told CNN. "There's no doubt in my mind whatever, she's in a permanent vegetative state. Her CAT scan shows extremely severe atrophy to the brain, and her EEG is flat. It doesn't show any electric activity at all. That man is lying. He has an agenda, and I think if he should be tried for murder right along with, of course, Judge Greer, who is also complicit in this whole situation. And when we have corrupt judges and you have corrupt doctors, and when the media does not bring this fact out, no man's life or property is safe." And I really think that you have to understand that Michael Schiavo's attorney is a pro-death attorney who's been involved in other similar cases of killing innocent people. And then they bring in this neurologist, of course, who belongs to the Hemlock Society, or at least who's spoken before the Hemlock Society. And when he says she's in a persistent vegetative state, he's just not telling the truth. But where is the outcry, you know? The argument, they focus on the wrong issues. And they say she's in a permanent vegetative state, and nobody ever points out she can't be in a permanent vegetative state. If she can respond, if she can move, if she can articulate certain words, if she can follow things with her eyes, if she can respond to her parents, this is not a persistent vegetative state. You can call it what you want to, but it just isn't true.
Yeah, imagine a... Imagine a one-week-old baby lying on her back in a crib. This baby can make some noises, can coo a little bit, can move. You know, Terry in Florida can do these things. She can make some sounds. She responds to things moved in front of her. She responds to people that she knows. She acts like she's going to smile. She acts like she's going to laugh. She responds. She even raised her arms, according to the attorney who came and visited her recently.
Hold that thought, Randy. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening, of course, is Randy Thomason for Campaign for California Families. And right now, let's go to Jack, who's calling again from Michigan. Hi, Jack. Did you have a question?
Well, I do. I have some comments. First, I agree it's a perverse travesty of morality, ethics, and justice. In fact, Doctor, there's this neurologist by the name of Hamas Barb out of Florida who has successfully rehabbed numerous neurologically compromised patients very successfully. And in fact, a month and a half ago, it came out in, as a news bleep that some lady that had been apparently in a coma for 20 years was speaking suddenly, came out of it, was speaking, and was totally alert. And that was just a blip on the screen. But your guest said that the American people are complicit in the murder of Terry Schindler. I would submit that more correctly it would be that the BAR esquires who actually adjudicated this perverse affair are responsible.
But you see, there were some good lawyers and there were some bad lawyers, so you can't condemn all lawyers for that, for what the bad lawyers have done.
Exactly. I don't mean to infer that, Dr. Stan.
Yeah, and Jack, let me respond. This is Randy Thomason. I don't think the American public is killing Terry. I said America is murdering an innocent woman. And what I mean by that is our government is a reflection of us. I think we have an ignorant voting public. We don't know how these bad judges got into power. Well, they were appointed, and they were nominated and confirmed or just nominated, but they got in there through politicians. And there are too many politicians, primarily the Democrats, but also some Republican politicians, who will not appoint good judges. The good judges are those who believe in strict constructionism of the Constitution, who will actually pay more attention to the Constitution than to case law. Reading the opinions of other judges, I think, can get far away from the Constitution, and where they start inventing things like, let's take a cross off the hillside, or God out of the Pledge of Allegiance, or create homosexual marriage when marriage is only for a man and a woman. These are the types of things that get judges way off course, and I've seen even one of my favorite presidents, President Reagan, he appointed some bad judges, too, because he was not discerning enough, was not careful enough. A judge needs to be a strict...
Hold that thought right there, Randy. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We're talking about the tragic murder, because it is murder, of Terry Schiavo. And, of course, Randy was saying that we've got a problem with our judiciary, pointing out that many of them are Democrats. Well, I would simply point out that in the recent court case, when this was appealed to the Federal Appeals Court that would hear this case, the Terry Schiavo case, why it was the Democrats who voted to save Terry's life. It was the Republicans who were the majority who voted to actually have her killed. And the president's newly appointed interim appointment, Judge William Pryor, the man who betrayed Judge Roy Moore, who then was rewarded with an interim appointment to the federal bench by the President of the United States. He appointed William Pryor to the bench. Why William Pryor went right along with the pro-death position, of which, of course, the man who appointed him says that he opposes. So there's something certainly incongruous here. Jack, do you have anything you say before we let you go?
Oh, yes, Dr. Stan. You were reading the 14th Amendment and the Citizenship Clause, and it states, and subject to the jurisdiction thereof. That's absolutely irrefutably crucial. The 13th Amendment says involuntary servitude is prohibited. Well, by implication, voluntary servitude is just A-okay. Article 1, Section 10 says the obligation of contracts will not be impaired.
Okay. Well, look, I don't want to get into a long discussion.
No, but
thanks very much, Jack. Let's go to John calling from Anaheim. John, go ahead. John, are you there? John? John, are you there?
Yes. Hello, Dr. Stan.
Right.
I commend you and your guests for discussing this situation, because it will more or less determine what the future will be for other disabled people regarding euthanasia. If you want to call this slow, torturous type of death euthanasia, which I think is almost an inaccuracy in itself. But there are some things that have not been brought out tonight, which I'm sure both of you are aware of. For example, we have an unfaithful husband who has already fathered two children,
right,
his girlfriend, and claims to be the lawful wedded husband of this woman over which he claims to have authority. And I would think in the state of Florida, which is one of the southern states in the Bible Belt, that perhaps adultery still might be considered a violation of the law.
It is a violation of the law. And, of course, if they really wanted to could do anything about it, they could have arrested him for a flagrant adultery, for living openly with another woman, fathering other children, while he was still married to Terry. All he had to do was divorce her. He could do that. He didn't want to divorce her. He wanted to kill her. And that is what this crux of this whole issue is about. And had the legitimate authorities wanted to put an end to this, they could have, you know, certainly, I do not believe that probably we should put people in prison for adultery, but that is the law there, and I think that they should have enforced it and put him in prison so he could not kill his wife. But you see, there are all sorts of things they could have done, John, and they didn't do any of them.
Yes, there are some other things that should be addressed. For example, the medical physician who stated that Terry was in a vegetative state, I believe happens to be the brother of the attorney representing Michael Schiavo, or at least one of the physicians involved in that particular case. And I understand the judge who authorized the removal of Terry's feeding tube serves on the same commission as the owner of the hospice. And the hospice itself is affiliated with Euthanasia of America. And nothing is mentioned by the news media regarding any of these situations, which even one of those would be considered a conflict of interest in a court of law.
What are your thoughts on that, Randy?
Well, Terry is trapped. And, John, I agree with so much of what you're saying, because she is trapped in that hospice, which is basically it's basically to help people die peaceably. Well, she's not dying peaceably; she's dying horribly.
Yes.
Also, she was healthy; she could swallow, she could move. She needed the therapy that had been denied her. I wish someone had taken her out of there even months ago. Ferreted her out in the middle of the night, taken her to a foreign country where they believe in the right to life, given her therapy so that in 3 years she could stand in front of cameras and say, I can talk now. I'm so glad I was given therapy that my adulterous former husband refused to give me as he tried to kill me. It's very much a problem.
Yes. One other thing I understand is that Mr. Michael Schiavo was awarded $1 million in a suit on behalf of his wife, which was to go primarily for her keep and therapy. And it appears as if he was rather negligent in providing her with any adequate therapy from that philosophy.
He provided her with about $50,000 is left. That's what he reports. But the record is that Michael Schiavo refused to give Terry therapy for years and cut off all talk of therapy after he got that $1 million. And he has not let her go outside for at least 3 years now. No sunshine. That's why she looks so pale. He has prohibited her from having her teeth cleaned, and she's had about 5 teeth fall out as a result of this poor care of her teeth. You know, I just wish that someone had been able to give her therapy. You know, it was a terrible thing when you saw. Now Jeb Bush tried. I have to give him that. He tried to send state marshals to go and rescue her, but Judge Greer, the bad judge, heard about it and issued a ruling saying, "No, you can't do that, Governor." And then the judge ordered the county sheriff's deputies of Pinellas County, Florida, to block and the state marshal. So there could have been a confrontation.
There should have been a confrontation. If Jeb Bush had been really serious, he would have sent the National Guard in with a couple of tanks, and that would have put an end to it.
But
Janet Reno, I don't like Janet Reno, but when she was determined to do something, when she wanted to send little Elian Gonzalez back to Fidel Castro to build up Fidel Castro, she sent a SWAT team of 150 men with automatic weapons down to seize little Elian Gonzalez. What did George Bush do? Jeb Bush do? He pretended he wanted to do something, and then he could say, "Oh shucks, well, we couldn't have a confrontation, ladies and gentlemen." I mean, if Janet Reno could get Elian Gonzalez away, there's no reason at all in the world why Jeb Bush couldn't have done it. But of course, he can fall back and say, "Oh, it's not my fault," and George Bush can say, "It's not my fault. It's those judges." They could have immediately, of course, removed those judges from office. The governor has tremendous power, and he didn't use it.
That's right. And just to finish, Jeb Bush caved much too early. He caved, even if he had good intentions. We don't know his heart or his brain, but at least he caved too early and should have basically said, "I'm not paying attention to that judge. I'm the governor. We're the state marshals. We're the superior power in the state. We're going to rescue this innocent woman. We're not going to have murder that we just watch happen." And let that wind up in court. Let that wind up in the Florida Supreme Court. Who has more power, the courts or the governor? Let it go to the U.S. Supreme Court. We need to start an argument in this country about who makes the law, the judges or the Congress or the legislature or the elected officials. And I will go with the elected officials over a court, because the judges are, they just become completely unaccountable.
Okay, fine. John, thanks so much. We got a couple of more calls. Let's go to Tim calling from Indianapolis. Hi, Tim.
Oh, hi, guys. Could it be possible? Now, we know the White House, they must be having fits. You know, they want this to be over with. Could the hospice there possibly be aiding, speeding up her death?
Well, I think they put her on a morphine drip. That's how you kill people. You just give them enough morphine, they peacefully die. And, of course, if she's not having any pain, why if she's on a morphine drip?
Well, we're getting a lot of shoulder shrugging from the Bushes, and doesn't it seem like everybody is so tight-lipped, the 100 senators and 450 to 500 House of Representatives, religious leaders, Catholic, Jews, and Baptists.
You know what's real interesting, Tim? You had the quote good guys, the Republicans in Congress,
right,
call for her to be subpoenaed. That was supposed to save her life. But then they caved when the judges started ruling the way they did, and the Republicans in Congress caved, and they didn't subpoena her, and they just totally threw up their hands. And they gave up. Now we have some real liberals like Jesse Jackson showing up in Florida, and I said to my wife, "Boy, he's finally done the right thing here.
He's a man."
We got Joe Lieberman.
Yeah,
Joe Lieberman saying that he would reinsert the feeding tube. I mean,
I think if God came down himself, it wouldn't matter. Before I egress, now we know there's an agenda to get euthanasia set up in the country, because we're about to have this high age population, and the establishment doesn't want to care for the old and the infirm. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much. I got to go to Tony calling from Soquel, California. Hi, Tony. How are you doing?
Hello, Doc. Listen, I have a couple of questions, maybe. My first question is, why couldn't the parents, with all of the information that's out there against Mr. Shiloh, why couldn't the parents bring attempted murder charges against him with all of this detrimental information that we're hearing? Now, if she dies, why can't they bring murder charges against him as well? If that's, it seems there's a lot of information showing that she has the potential of recovery, or at least partial recovery, or she has the potential of being saved. So why couldn't that happen?
All right, Jeff, what are your thoughts on that?
It's a good question. I have seen that question about will you file charges against Michael Schiavo if you think that he caused her to become disabled in the first place? Did he choke her or something? And the parents have said that there's a statute of limitations in Florida, so that prohibited them. And I have to think that even if there were not a statute of limitations, that they actually could try to file a civil case or try to go for a criminal case. Well, a criminal case would be dependent upon the district attorney of the county. And, Dr. Stan, it seems to me there's some complicit agreement between Michael Schiavo's attorneys and the sheriff of that county. There's something going on there where they are all on the side of killing Terry, and I don't think there's a real man as the sheriff there.
I think that there is all sorts of skullduggery going on. Tony, I agree with you that they could do lots of things, but none of these things are being done because they want to kill Terry to set the precedent. This is all about precedent. She is simply a pawn in a game that's being played, a deadly game, for, not only for the lives of Terry Schiavo, but for all disabled and all elderly and all infirm people. This is what it's all about. And when you understand the big picture, then everything makes sense. If you're looking at it logically, yeah, they ought to be filing murder charges against her husband, but they're not going to.
Yeah, and
thank you.
Okay, thanks very much for calling again. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. We got time for one or two more calls. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And this is a very, very important issue. And you can tell from the calls we've had tonight, there are a lot of people out across America who feel very strongly about this. And so far, we haven't had one call from one person who thinks that maybe we ought to just go ahead and kill her because, after all, she's not very productive. And wouldn't it be a lot cheaper if we just killed her? I don't think the average American feels that way. I think there's only a very, very small group of people who feel that human life has no value. Unfortunately, many of these sit on our courts, or they sit in our legislative halls, or they work within our police force today. Go ahead, Randy.
Dr. Stan, anyone who has a conscience, unless you are extremely biased because you were uncomfortable with someone at the end of their life in your family, if you have a conscience, you've got to come down on the side of protecting innocent human life. And that's why, as this thing has played out in the public eye for over 10 days now, people have become awake to what's happened. They know an innocent woman is being murdered. Forget about the liberal media polls, which state inaccuracies do not say that she could get better through therapy. They basically misrepresent the whole thing, and we have to recognize that, fortunately, I think there's enough people in this country who believe that you still deserve the right to life from womb to tomb if you are an innocent human being. We just need to get those people to translate that expectation to politicians who then translate that to judicial appointments.
Well, I think the thing is, they keep using this term, she's in a persistent vegetative state. Well, if you look at the definition of persistent vegetative state, she is not in a persistent vegetative state. This is a coma unresponsive, and all you need to do is look at her to know that they're lying. But you see, if the media says she's in a persistent vegetative state, and her husband says she's in a persistent vegetative state, and the media says she's in a persistent vegetative state, and certainly the courts say she's in a persistent vegetative state, most people don't have the courage, like the little boy in the Hans Christian Andersen fable, you know, said the king doesn't have any clothes on. She's not the persistent vegetative state at all. They're lying to him. And
yeah.
Nobody wants to say that the media is lying, the courts are lying, the husband's lying, the doctors are lying.
Yeah, if there are doctors, what has me, I think, most upset, well, it's really two things. One is we've lost the conscience in our among our leaders who, if they see someone being attacked, like if someone were attacked in the street, if somebody were being killed in the street, you know how more and more people want to look the other way, don't get involved? Well, now we have people who have the power to rescue the innocent who are saying we're not going to get involved. So that is a shame. The second thing that makes me very concerned is that we have politicians who now think that they can never go against the courts. I mean, when are we going to see a politician actually say that that court was out of order, I'm not going to obey an unconstitutional court ruling. We are not seeing that. So here in America today, we have a constitution that says the Congress shall be able to restrict the courts, but instead of following the Constitution, we have a practical arrangement where the courts are able to control Congress, and the Constitution is upside down.
Well, one time we had a president who said, one man with courage is morality, and when the Supreme Court gave a ruling that he disagreed with, he said, well, of course, they can rule all they want to. Let them use their army to enforce it. That was Andrew Jackson. And, of course, that's why they called him Old Hickory, because he wouldn't bend. He wouldn't bend to the media. He would do what was right. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Randy Thomason. Of course, we're talking about the Terri Schiavo murder, because that's what it is. And if you honestly believe that she's resting peacefully and her lips aren't parched, yeah, that's because, of course, you're seeing what the people who control the media want you to see. And why aren't they talking to the family about the agony that she's in? If she is not having any pain, why are they giving her morphine drip? Ask yourself that. And, of course, nobody wants to ask any of these questions, and certainly they're not going to ask these questions on the media, because the media is controlled by people who are controlling your reality, and the reality is they want you to accept the fact that when the courts say it's all right to kill the elderly or the infirmed or the disabled or the useless eaters or those people who have lives that are not worth living, then it's all right to do it. Randy, you got 2 minutes to wrap up the program. Oh, let's get your website out here quickly.
Yes, well, the Campaign for Children and Families website is SaveCalifornia.com, and I would like to mention that you visit there because you don't want what's happening to Terri to happen to you. But if you have a standard living will form, or like in California, we have the California Advanced Healthcare Directive, you're in trouble already because these are written from a pro-death perspective. If you just check the standard boxes, you, by your own signature, could guarantee that you'll be starved or dehydrated to death by yourself, or if you give power to an agent. If you're you fall into a coma, you're in an accident, you had a stroke, you were temporarily brain damaged before therapy, you could be starved or dehydrated in all these cases if you have the standard California health directive. So you don't want that living will form. You don't want that health directive. You want what's called the will to live. Dr. Stan, this is posted on our website. It's developed by the National Right to Life Committee, and it basically assumes that food and water is the right of every patient. And so it comes from a pro-life, pro-food standpoint. It will not equate food and water with machines like the standard living will form. So you can get the will to live. It's free. It's on our website. For those of you not in California, understand that there are versions for every state, and you can just visit our website at SaveCalifornia.com or SaveAmerica.net. That's SaveAmerica.net, and you can get the pro-life will to live to make sure you don't wind up in the trap that Terri has with an agonizing death.
All right. Well, I want to thank you so very much for being with us, Randy. It's always a pleasure to have you, and may the Lord be with you, and let's hope that the Lord will be merciful with Terri.
Well, hey, I just want you to know I love you much, Dr. Stan. You keep up the great work.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when I need to remind you out there that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And you do that simply by calling us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we want to talk. We have a 4-tape set on euthanasia, and very apropos to what this is all about, because there is a pro-death culture. They really do intend to kill off lots of people. They have large numbers of people. They have organizations. They have meetings. They have speakers. In fact, they Isn't it interesting that the man they called in to examine Terry Schiavo, who testified she was in a permanent vegetative state, just happened to talk to the Hemlock Society? Well, you need to get our four-tape set on euthanasia to so you'll have a grasp of what we're really talking about, the culture of death that is so prevalent in the world today. And then, of course, you need to get our four-tape set on population control. You need to get our four-tape set on genocide. You need to get our four-tape set on why do we still have cancer. And our four-tape set on Dr. Baczynski, who has an excellent treatment for many cancers, and that has been actively suppressed by the FDA, that organization who's there not to protect you, but, of course, to withhold many important treatments that would save human life and to release many drugs that are potentially lethal. And as incredible as it may seem, that's exactly what's going on in the world today. So if you would like to get the various four-tape sets we talked about, that would be the four-tape set on euthanasia, on population control, on why do we still have cancer, on Dr. Baczynski, or, of course, one of my favorites is the New Order of the Barbarians, where the whole plan for mass murder and for creating new diseases is laid out by a doctor who heard the whole plan described back in 1969 by the medical director of Planned Parenthood, a man named Dr. Richard Day, who told a group of doctors exactly what was planned and the genocide that lies ahead here in America. Well, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to know how they're killing our people today, you really need, of course, to get our material on water fluoridation. We'd be glad to send you our free newsletter from that would be November or December. You can have one of those free newsletters. Of course, we hope maybe you'll want to subscribe to the newsletter and get all of them. We have a number of very, very important newsletters in the year 2003 and 2004 about all the new diseases that suddenly have appeared. Like, did you know we have almost 2 million people in America with chronic Lyme disease, and the government's doing everything they can to prevent there from being a logical approach to this terrible disease, and somewhere between 1 million and 2 million people with chronic fatigue syndrome and chronic fibromyalgia, people who are totally disabled, their lives have been destroyed. Well, we're going to be telling you a lot more about Lyme disease and about these other diseases in the coming weeks, in the coming months. And then you need to learn what you can do to help yourself and to help others who have these afflictions. And, of course, the great tragedy is that these people are chronically disabled, and, of course, the government is doing everything they can to block understanding why. And you say, why would anybody do that? One of the books we still have, and I think we have a few copies of it, is Osler's Web. If you haven't read Osler's Web by Hillary Johnson, you need to get it. You need to read it, and hopefully we still have a few copies in stock. One of the most significant adventure stories I've ever read. The only trouble is it's real. It's about a disease that the government did everything they could to stop the doctors or the public from learning its true origin or cause. Well, we're out of time, so please pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.